Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
All right. Well, can you guys give it up one more time just for our worship team? Kendall, Miss Abigail, thank you so much for coming. You guys did an incredible job, and love your hearts. And I was just saying earlier, how the Holy Spirit works and how He connects us in the church. And sometimes when you have guest worship, you can't really collaborate as much on picking the songs. But you'll see by the end of my message just how seamless the song selection and how everything is just flowing together in that. And that's the beauty of the church. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit and how God can connect us in that. And so just as I was praying earlier, just continue to pray for the efforts that are on the ground and pray for efforts of those who are facing all of that. And we just want to lean in. We want to be a praying church. And so we believe in what God is doing all through all of that. And so if you're joining us for the first time, maybe you're listening in online. My name is Daniel Casnave. We are so glad that you are here. We are in a series called Follow Me. Follow Me. And we're studying the first six chapters in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is pretty powerful because it's the very first time where the Christians were following Jesus in the flesh. And then Jesus went back to heaven. And then He provides them with the Holy Spirit that dwells in each and every believer and says, now it's on you. Now you are building My church through the Holy Spirit, how Christ built His church through the local church. And they go out and they start performing miracles. They start building the church. They start meeting together, all of these different things. And chapter one, just a quick recap. You guys ready? This is that Netflix recap right here. Chapter one, we see that they are getting their instructions from Jesus Himself. He ascends back into heaven. He tells them, I want you to go and I want you to wait. I want you to pray for the Holy Spirit, the promised one who is going to lead you. And then chapter 2, we see the day of Pentecost. It was 50 days after Easter, and the Holy Spirit comes and they begin to speak what the Bible describes in like tongues of fire, and they're speaking in other languages. And so they're preaching, and people are from all over different areas and countries, and they can understand what Peter is preaching as he's preaching the gospel. So all these languages are coming together. And then in that one day, 3,000 people give their life to Jesus on that one day of Pentecost. And so we just see this massive movement of about 120 followers. And all of a sudden, it's like, poof, explosion, right, of 3,000 followers. And they start meeting in homes. At the end of chapter 2, if you get a chance, read that. And then next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about this in Acts chapter 4. But the way that the early church lived as a community, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. They met regularly. They shared in the Lord's Supper. They were right there. They lived selflessly. They were extremely generous. I mean, there are stories of the early church where they would go and sell houses. They would go sell land because another brother and sister in Christ was in need. And so they would sell that and then bring it to the apostles and go, hey, we want to help meet that need. So this is just extreme generosity to meet each other's needs. And then we get to Acts chapter 3, and that is today. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and then we're going to skip down a little bit and go 19 through 21, but we'll mainly be in Acts chapter 3. We're going to have it for you on the screens too, but I want to pray for us, and before I do, I want to give you the title of my message today. You guys ready? Ready for it? Dave's ready. All right, the title is Focal Point, Focal Point. And I want you to, I'd love for you to take notes today or write down whatever that may be, or maybe you want to take a picture of the screen or take some note in your phones, or maybe you're just great at memorizing things. But focal point. And I love this. I want to read the definition. It says, the center of interest or activity. I love that definition. The center of interest or activity. I want to ask you these two questions before we get started right here. What is your focal point? What is the center of your interest and activity? What is our focal point? Focal point right there. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to jump right in. Okay, so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your truth. Thank You for the opportunity to be here this morning. That we have the freedom to gather. We have the freedom to listen online, God, to be encouraged by Your Word, to be challenged by Your Word, God, to be shaped by Your Word. And I just pray that I will decrease so that You may increase. I pray that You would speak the only way that You can, God, to transform hearts. I pray that we would trust You at Your Word and change our lives to follow Your leading. We love You. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. I love those two words, focal point. And you're going to see this in a little bit later. I believe different houses have different focal points. I am not a decorator at heart. I'm kind of more of a, what is the most efficient thing that we can do and set up? Maybe you have a more decorator style mind, like when you walk in your house, how you set things up. You're like, oh, this rug has to be a certain color. This rug, you know, it has to be a certain thing, and everything has to flow. Everything has to feel good when you walk in, whatever that may be. But a house may have a focal point. And one of my things that I love but also kind of wrestle with are centerpieces. Anybody have a centerpiece on your table before? You know, maybe you have a centerpiece at your house. Every once in a while we do. We have three little boys, and so things don't tend to stay in their places. And or maybe you're out at a restaurant. You know how they have this like big bouquet of flowers right there at the centerpiece? And you eventually you have to do what? You have to move the centerpiece, right? Because it's like right in front of you. It's like I can't even see you. You have to move it over. But what I love about the centerpieces on the table is when you usually, if you walk into a dining room or walk into the kitchen, it's right there. It catches your eye. It's the focal point. It's doing what it designed to do. And if you're sitting at the table, the centerpiece is right there. It's right in your view. It almost becomes a topic of conversation, whatever it may be, but it becomes the focal point. And what we're going to see here in the early church is that they had a focal point. They had a centerpiece that it was like everything flowed from that one point, from that one focal point, from that one centerpiece. Everything was hinged around this one idea or this one topic. And so we're going to see that today. And as we get to Acts chapter 3, the disciples are starting to realize like, wow, what Jesus said is true. They're empowered by the Holy Spirit. They're walking in it. They're realizing that what Jesus is saying is true. They just saw, imagine this, 3,000 people come to know Christ. And now they're probably trying to grab every leader and organization expert on the planet, right? Like, we got to break these people up. We got to get them into houses. We got to get them into services. We know all these things, right? And so they're trying to figure all this out as an early church. And then we have the two disciples that where we pick up here in Acts chapter 3, they continue on in their day. They continue on in what God is doing. And they are giving us almost this picture of this lifestyle that they lived. And so Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Everybody still good? With me? Awesome. Very good. Chapter 1. Or Acts 3, verse 1, it says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, Look at us. If you're highlighting, underlining, whatever you want to do there, those three words right there, look at us. The lame man looked at them eagerly expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. As he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood to his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter and John are out, and they're headed to the prayer service, right? And so what I love about this, before we even get past verse 1, is that Peter and John, they were headed to worship God. They were headed to praise God. They were headed into this prayer service. And what we can see here is they had a normal routine to pursue God. It was in their daily pursuit, especially for the early church here. It says they gathered in the homes almost daily. I mean, they were constantly being together. They were constantly coming together for prayer, for worship, for study, for all of these things, because they needed those checkpoints to draw near to God. They needed these checkpoints to be close to God. And if you're taking notes, the first thing I want to put here is when we pursue God, God moments follow. When we pursue God, God moments begin to follow. Peter and John, they weren't walking out in the street going, okay, it's about to be time. John, you ready, Peter? You ready, John? Like, it's about to happen. We see this is going to happen. We see a need that's going to be met, and all of a sudden, we're going to have this incredible God moment, right? And we can, I believe sometimes as Christians, we can put that pressure on ourselves. We can put that weight on there. It's like, oh, I want to be used by God. God, I want to see something move. I want to see that miracle in my life. I want to see it begin to happen. And we try to make it happen. We try to make that miracle happen. We try to, you know, put some things together. And what's the equation, God? But what I want us to see here is Peter and John, they were headed on their normal routine. They were headed to the prayer service. They already had it worked in to pursue God. And in their pursuit of God, the God moment naturally followed. Another thing, too, is when I'm closer to God, the more aware I am of where God is working around me. Because there's a principle for you and I that God is always working. He is always up to something. He never gets tired. He never sits back and goes, okay, I've had enough. Let me just not allow anything else to happen. But God is moving. God is working around us. And you and I have an opportunity to join Him in His work, to join Him in what He is doing around us. But if we are not close to Him, if we're not close to the Holy Spirit's leading and to know when He is nudging us to maybe have this moment with someone or experience this moment with God, then there can be this disconnect. And I really want this to be freeing for you and I. Because sometimes, like I said earlier, we can carry that weight of going, why am I not experiencing what they're experiencing? Why am I not seeing what they're seeing? And we could try to carry that weight. And I hope that this can free somebody up today to where you can just take that weight off and going, okay, my job is not to create God moments. My job is not to create that. My job is to pursue God, is to be as close to God as I can and then allow God to work through me. How freeing is that for you and I to go today? Okay, God, I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to walk by the Spirit. God, you lead me where you want me to go. And now I am freed up to follow Jesus. I'm freed up to follow the Holy Spirit and to just say, okay, God, when I see you working, then I'm going to step in. When I see you moving, when I see you make that connection, what I like to tell people, I call them trigger words. Maybe you don't like that word. Maybe like a initiation, not the right word anyway. But whatever that word may be for you, but it's this moment of going, okay, God may be doing something here. Okay, God, this may be something that God has aligned. When somebody asks you a question or somebody is right there in that moment, and then you and I have an opportunity. It's because Peter and John, they were headed to pursue God. They were headed to their prayer time. They were headed, and so their hearts were attuned to what God was doing, and they saw this man in need. One is they had already seen Jesus do this multiple times as they were following him in his ministry. But two, they saw this man in need, and they saw that this was an opportunity to step out and say, this is, I believe God can do something incredible. I believe God can move in this person's life. And they stepped out in faith, but they didn't see it until they stepped down in faith. They had to take that moment of choice, that moment of faith. Some people call it a crisis of belief. Do I believe in the flesh? Do I believe in my own logic? Do I believe in what God wants to do in this moment? So I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to step out and I may say this one thing, or I may do this one thing for this one person, or I may connect them, because in this moment we begin to see God continue to move. And sometimes we may look at this, especially the story, because it's very specific. A man was healed physically. But I believe the power of God is even bigger than that. He may want to heal somebody physically, but He may want to for you to bring hope to somebody. Somebody may be sitting around and seeing what's going on in the world and going, this is too much. This is too much. There is no hope for this world. There is no hope for me. I don't even know why I should get out of bed this morning. I don't even know, like, right? And just feel overwhelmed. And God goes, ooh, I'm going to put Steve in his lane today. Or I'm going to put Dave in his lane today, right? I'm going to put Amanda in his lane today. And all of a sudden, we hear somebody maybe share that. Or maybe even God may place somebody on your heart, place somebody on your mind, and you have an opportunity. I have an opportunity to go, man, I've been thinking a lot about them today. I've been thinking a lot about them today. Let me just send this text. Let me call them. Or maybe we see our coworker. We just can tell on their face something is wrong. And we have an opportunity there in that moment of going, okay, maybe God has aligned this. Maybe this God moment has aligned. Or maybe you're in your prayer time. Just like Peter and James, you're headed to prayer time. Maybe you read something in the Bible verse. Maybe you've experienced this before. You read something in Scripture maybe the day before, or we talk about it on Sunday morning, and then like on Tuesday, something happens, and you're like, we were just talking about this on Sunday. It's like God was setting me up for this to happen. And I hope as Christians, we take that moment to go, oh, this is not just coincidence. This is a God moment. This is God is actually connecting some dots here, connecting some details in this. And right here we see that God can give us the power through the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the power and presence of God in a Christian's life. And God can give us the power through the Holy Spirit to maybe help someone experience that hope. Maybe they have a stronghold that's holding onto them mentally or whatever that may be. We have an opportunity to speak into them or to pray over them or to be there with them in that moment. It could be that maybe somebody just needs you there to help them walk through to say, hey, you're going to be okay. You're going to make it through this. Let's walk through this thing together. And this past week, I had an opportunity to young man called me who used to be in my student ministry, and he called me one morning real early, and so I knew it was very kind of out of character, and so I picked it up and got to talk to him, and he was very, very upset and just had like three or four things. You know that how those can happen in life where it just feels like boom, 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 and another thing after the other. And in those moments, it's like we don't know which way is up, right? It's going, God, this is too much. I am overwhelmed. This can't happen. And sometimes we just need to be the steady voice. And I just told him kind of over, hey, you're going to be okay. Look, God will continue to work in this. And just being that steady voice. And look, I don't have all the answers. I can't tell you all the steps that you're going to take. But what I can tell you is that God is right there with you. And I was like, don't try to figure all these things out all at one time. Just figure out what the next step that God wants you to take. And He is faithful. He's going to show you another one. And then He's going to show you the next one. And He's going to show you the next one. But sometimes people just need another brother and sister in Christ, or maybe somebody who knows God, of going, hey, when things like that happen in my life, when trials are happening in my life, here is my anchor. Here is my peace. His name is Jesus. This is how God connects us in that. And I love this because we just need to help people, or maybe ourselves, change their focal point. Because so many times, especially in that overwhelming moment in those seasons of our life, what's our focal point? The issue that is right in front of us, right, that is roaring, that is so loud, that is right there in our face, and we don't feel like we can overcome it, right? It could be the issue that's right there. This lame beggar, his focal point was sitting at the gate, was sitting there, and he's looking down. And what do Peter and John say to this man? They say, look at us. And they try to change this man's focal point. And they turn him and they say, I want to introduce you to a man named Jesus. And they use the power of Christ, the power of Jesus, to change his focal point. And so you and I have an opportunity to change only our focal point, but also those who are around us to say, hey, this is the focal point. This is our anchor. This is our hope. This is how God is moving through us. And so we have an opportunity to help the world to say, this, everything that maybe is going on, it could be heavy, it feels heavy, it feels like I just can't find strength, I can't find traction, but you and I, we can take our focus and going, okay, now my focus is on Christ. I know that through Christ, He's going to show me the way. It's not this, because sometimes we can think, and then I'm going to move on, okay? Because you're like, Daniel, this is a lot on the focal point, okay? But sometimes we can think that me saying that is, oh, well, you're just kind of living in this ignorance is bliss, right? Like, oh, this is not really going on. I'm going to kind of over here in my own la-la land. No, this is still going on, and God may still want you to go, you right there in the fire, step in there with them, step in there with that. Like, I'm calling you to it in the middle of the fire, but first, look to me. Because if you look to me, change your focal point, you can be right in the middle of the fire, right? But know you can make it through. That's where your strength comes from. Because if our focal point is the problem, then maybe the issue we want to fix or we want to come about, well, all of a sudden now we may want to try to go a different route for it, but God is going to let me show you the way. Let me show you the truth. Let me through my lens, through my calling in your life, let me be your perspective. Let me be your focal point. And I think of so many, especially in seasons of transition, maybe you're a student in the house or a college student, or maybe you're making a career move, all of these different things. It's so easy to look in front of us and going, this is an issue. This is a problem. This is weighing me down. And Jesus is saying, look to me, I will show you the way. I'll show you the next step. Pursue me. Pursue my presence, and God moments will follow. And this is another thing that I'd love for you to write down. The power of God follows the presence of God. The power of God follows the presence of God. Here in Acts chapter 2, they were together, they were praying, they were calling on the name of God. And when the presence of God was just moving inside of their life, it's like power continued to move out. You're going to want to be Acts chapter 4. It's pretty incredible because they're fully pursuing God, and God moves. His power just comes down, and it's pretty incredible to see. Well, we see this picture. And then the focal point that Peter and John, right here in this moment, this man is miraculously healed. He stands up, and then Peter, what does he do? He takes everybody back to the center point. He takes everybody back to that centerpiece, and he brings it right back, and he goes into this beautiful, Peter was a preacher, I mean, he goes into this beautiful gospel presentation. As soon as this miracle happens, as incredible as it is, he uses it as a platform. He didn't say, that was the end, like, isn't that awesome, let's high five, there's a really cool thing that happened, right? No, he uses it and goes, actually, the reason why that happened is direct you to Jesus. The reason is he brought everybody back and said, this is the center point, is the message of Jesus. And this is what he says here. This is so good. You guys ready? Acts chapter 3, verse 19. There's a small snippet of what he was saying. He says this, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. This is it right here. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. For he must remain in heaven until the time of the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Peter is preaching. He is saying, turn from the worldly ways, turn from our sin, and turn to God. Our sins will be wiped away. But then he says, I love this, times of refreshment will come from where? The presence of God. It's like Peter's redirecting our focal point, because sometimes our focal point is, God, I need relief. God, I need strength. God, I need peace, which all of those things are true. But Peter reminds us, he says, those things come from the presence of God. Those things come from the Prince of peace. And I see it all the time that I believe our world is looking for peace. Our world is looking for comfort. Our world is looking for all of the fruit of the Spirit. But where those fruit comes from is the Spirit. Where the fruit comes from is the presence of God. And how freeing is it for you and I to know that if I get in the presence of God, the supernatural fruit that comes out of it is peace. The fruit that comes out of it is refreshment. The fruit that comes out of it is comfort. The fruit that comes out of it is what God wants to do in us. And we don't have to run around going, okay, what's the formula for peace? What's the formula for comfort? What's the formula for this? What we have to do is put our eyes, our focal point on Jesus and going, if I can just continue to live in His presence and pursuing Him, He brings all of that with me. The God moments follow, the peace follows, the comfort follows, and you and I have a beautiful opportunity to show not only that, but also to encourage those who are walking with us, of saying, Jesus, He's made a way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so I want to finish with this here today. Everybody still with me? And this, because the story is pretty powerful. Where does the time go? It's already almost time. Here we go. But this story is beautiful. And most of the times we look at it from Peter and John's point of view, right? Because we're trying to learn as they're followers of Christ. But I think about this man, and I think about his life, and it says that he was lame from birth. He could not walk. He couldn't use his legs from birth. Can you imagine his life? I mean, take it all the way back from when he was a kid, waking up in the morning from birth. This was just how he knew life. This is how he believed that his life was going to be. And he woke up and his parents had to wrestle with him to get him dressed. And then later on, you just know as a parent, as you're walking through that with your kid. And then as he gets older, maybe he has friends who help him and carry him to school, carry him to training, or during those times, you know, it wasn't like they can just hop in a vehicle, and just how they're wrestling through that. And then as he gets older, he has this, and some even religious leaders look at him and go, you're cursed. It's because of either your sin or your parents' sin or because of this that you're this way. And he's hearing this over and over again. And then when he gets older, he can't find a job. And so what does he do? He gets his friends every day. He wakes up in the morning. They come physically pick him up. They carry him to the temple because that's where people are going in and out all day to prayer services. And, oh, these are religious people. Surely they will help me out. Surely they will be there, right? And they take him. And how ironic is that every day he goes and sits at the gate called Beautiful. And I just think about this man who he's looking at his life and going, this is not beautiful. Like, this is a reminder, actually, that I'm broken. This is a reminder that, I mean, this is my day. I wake up every day, and I sit at the foot of this gate. I can't walk. I can't work. And here I am begging for people. And I just think, how humiliating for this man, right? Every day, this is his life. He probably feels, I don't have any purpose. I don't feel like God's called me to doing something. And I think about you and I, that we can get in a rut in life. And we can walk into our daily lives and look on social media and go, I'm just reminded that my life is broken, or maybe I don't feel like I have any direction, or I'm just feeling overwhelmed. And how crazy is this, God? I don't even feel like I have any purpose. And is this how my life is every day? Is this how it's going to be? And I believe that that can be our lives, but that's also the lives of the people that we interact with every single day. And then this man, he's sitting at the gate, and all of a sudden, just like every other day, he takes his hand. I'm sure he's humiliated, doesn't even want to look up, but he kind of takes his shaky hand, and he's asking people, all he sees is feet and knees as they walk by. Can I please have some money? Can I please have some money? Can I please have some money? And then all of a sudden, he hears a voice of this fisherman. I just picture Peter as like a rugged, you know, he's got some muscles on him. His hands are calloused, his voice is kind of raspy, and he's just, all of a sudden he hears the voice of Peter. Hey, look at us. You're asking me for some money, but look at us. Right now you're looking at your brokenness. You're looking at your problem. You're looking at your issue, but Peter says, look at us. Let me show you hope. Let me introduce you to a new way of life. You may think all hope is lost, but can I please tell you about my Jesus? Let me please introduce you to a man named Jesus. And he stops, and they take the time, and the holy moment begins to happen. They step out in faith, and they say, money, I do not have. You may think you want money, but actually, let me help you even further. And they reach out and they say, stand up in the name of Jesus. And this man, he has never felt like what it was. He has never felt his legs, never felt his muscles. And all of a sudden, it says he jumps up. And people are astounded because day after day, he stands at the gate called Beautiful. And can I show you a powerful verse that we just read? It's verse 11. I didn't catch it at first. This is so good. It says, they all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. The man was holding tightly to Peter and John. I mean, when you and I, when our hope is restored, my response is to get as close to the source of that hope as possible. It's like, wow, they spoke in the name of Jesus. I don't know about my life, but I'm going to stick close to Peter and John. He's just learning this Jesus thing out, right? But he says, holding tightly. He's like, hey, Peter, where you're going, I'm going. I don't know what. I can't figure this thing out, but all I know is you have hope, and I want that hope. All I know is I felt like I wasn't enough, and then you told me about this man named Jesus, and now I am enough, and all of a sudden now my life has changed. I have this hope, and they cling to Peter and John. And my cry for us as the church is to cling to the presence of God, because you never know your closeness to Jesus what hope it'll bring to someone else. You never know that you being that close to Jesus, they're like, I need that. I need to walk in that. I need to hold that close. And I believe, God, maybe I'm just this crazy preacher, man, but I believe that Jesus is the hope of the world. I believe that through Christ, this world can find hope. And there is not any situation that Christ cannot step into and go, I am here for you. I am breathing life. I am breathing hope. I am breathing purpose into your situation, into your life. And I believe that Christ wants to do that in and through us every single day. I'm going to invite the worship team back up, and we're going to get ready to pray. And my prayer for us is, you may be thinking about, well, where do I stand in this? And I would love to revisit those two questions for you and I. Maybe today you may ask yourself, what is my focal point? What is my interest? What is the center of my interest? What is the center of my activity? What is weighing on me so heavy? And can it be an opportunity for me to cling to the heart of Jesus? Can it be for an opportunity for me to go, okay, God, I'm not real sure about what's going on. I'm not sure what's going on with me or what's going on around me, God, but I'm going to cling to you because I believe if I can just get in your presence, you will show me the way. And if I could teach anything to my four kids, if I could teach anything to you, if you come to the Bridge Church, my hope, my prayer is that you'd be like, I don't know about all those things, but I know that if I can just get to the presence of Jesus, he's going to show us the way. If I can just follow Jesus, our mission, our vision is to connect people to Jesus daily because he is our hope. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the one that guides us. It's about his name, not my name. And so my prayer is that we can all have that moment of going, I need my focal point is Jesus. In the early church, that was their focal point. That was their centerpiece. That was their hope. That was their everything. It was, okay, today, I may be, as Apostle Paul, he said, I may be making tents. Paul was a tent maker. He was bivocational, planting churches and making tents. But yet as a tent maker, he had a purpose. The gospel was the center of the early church. It's the center of what we do each and every day. So I just want to pray with us today and ask God to speak to our hearts. Ask God just to give us encouragement. That maybe our focal point can be him, that we can rest in his presence. We can rest in the fact that, okay, this week, I'm going to do everything I can to get in the presence of God because I believe hope will follow. I believe holy moments can follow. I believe peace will follow. I believe that refreshment will follow. I believe those things will follow the presence of God. And I can help walk in that promise. But let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your presence, God. God, I pray that you'll just speak to our hearts. I pray that the Holy Spirit would guide us. I pray that if anybody in this room or listening online, God, I pray that they just feel like the weight of the world is on their shoulders. They feel overwhelmed, and all they can see is the circumstance in front of them. God, I pray that they would look to you. God, I pray that you would help them change their focal point to you. God, I pray that you would help them see your word, that they would see your promises. God, I pray that you would bring hope. God, I pray that you would bring life. God, I pray that you would show us the way that you're calling us to, God, that we would reorganize, restructure whatever we have to do to get into your presence, God, because we know that holy moments will follow. We know that your power will follow. We know, God, that it's your presence, God, that is the source of it all. And it is through you and by you. We trust and rest in that fact, God, that we can have hope in any situation, that death has no sting on us, because now we have a relationship with you, Jesus. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and
thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.